We pray that You'd be pleased now to pour out Your Spirit. You are the sovereign God. And we pray, Almighty God, Your grace to meet our real needs in this hour. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to look at verses 7 through 10 in James chapter 4. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Need we say that life is full of perplexities, complications, and challenges? It is, isn't it? There's no doubt about that. And especially for the Christian in this world, this is true. Religion is being driven out of the public sector so that the Christian life is being made more and more difficult in these days. Drugs, debauchery, drive-by shootings are on the increase. Homosexuality is coming into its own. And I have said this before and I say it again, I think this is one of the most serious problems in our society today, because it strikes at the heart of the marriage relationship, which is intended by God to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. The answer to life's perplexities and problems is being excluded from society today. God and the God of the Bible. And we as a people need to be working in the other direction. We really do. But in order for us to do that, we first of all must understand this thesis which I present to you this morning. That the biblical doctrine of seeking is the way to find solutions to life's perplexities. And I purposefully state it that way. I'm not here to present easy solutions. That's not what we're about. But we must seek the Lord for the solutions. And a proper understanding of seeking the Lord is the way to begin to find the solutions to life's perplexities. And we're just getting at the tip of the iceberg as we look at these verses in James this morning. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. It seems to me that James presents to us in these verses an answer to a real problem in our society, and that's a problem of hostility towards God. And the opposite of that is to be seeking the Lord. And so we zero in on verses 7 through 10 as a solution to a problem which James is talking about. In James 4, 1, 2, and 3, he says, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." There are quarrels and there are disagreements concerning the answers to the problems which face our society. And those quarrels and those conflicts are present within the visible church. All we have to do is look around a little bit and we realize that that's the case. And these stem from what James calls a hostility toward God, verses 4, 5, and 6. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? The Spirit which He has made to dwell in us lusts to envy. But He gives greater grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The problem is an hostility toward God. And the answer is given in verses 7 through 10. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Be humble in the presence of the Lord. What do we need to do, dear friends? Submit therefore to God. And how do we do that? Through the Word of God. We know that's true. We need to do it. I remember a fellow who was found in adultery who said to me, I've always prayed that phrase in the Lord's Prayer, lead me not into temptation. Why in the world am I in this situation now? And the response was this. You have to submit to the Lord in His Word. Paul says to Timothy, flee youthful lusts. And if you don't submit to the Lord in His Word and flee youthful lusts, you can pray that prayer all you want. Resist the devil. This is the other side of the coin. I worked with a fellow for a while who I discovered was a pathological liar. I think you understand what I mean by that. It was just in his nature to defend himself in every way with lies. This fellow was a professing Christian. I want you to keep your finger there in James and turn to the very end of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. But then comes verse 15. Outside the city, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and immoral persons and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. The practice of lying and the profession of faith in Jesus Christ are incompatible. We must realize that and resist the devil who is the father of lies. James chapter 4 again. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to God. We must draw near to God by taking advantage of the means of grace. We must do that. What are the means of grace? The means of grace are the Word of God, the sacraments, and prayer. You see, James is speaking to those who are professing Christians. And we must take advantage of the Word of God, both privately and publicly. And we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. We must come together so that we can exhort one another to love and good deeds. We must take advantage of the sacraments. The Lord's Supper, for example, is food for the journey of the Christian life in the wilderness of the world. We must take advantage of prayer, which is the means by which God has ordained that He will bring about His will in the world. One of the means. We must draw near to God. Draw near to God is the exhortation. And each one of these statements is an exhortation. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to God. And then comes another exhortation which seems hard. Cleanse your hands. And James adds those two words, you sinners. None of us likes to be called a sinner. I've been called a sinner a couple of times. And I gulped, but then realized it was true. Our hands must be cleansed. We're going to look at Psalm 24 in a moment, which we have just sung. We must have clean hands. That is, our hands must be free from the guilt of sin. And there's only one way that my hands, I know, can be free from the guilt of sin, and that is through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that comes as a result of the payment He made on my behalf by dying on Calvary's cross and paying for my sins. Cleanse your hands. You must seek the forgiveness that comes from God through Jesus Christ. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Not only must the hands be clean, but the heart must be pure. I'm glad you can't look into my heart. Because I know, as I examine my own heart, that it is not pure. Thank God again for the work of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the work of Jesus Christ in not only paying the penalty due to someone like me for my sins, but also living, on the other hand, a perfect life, which I cannot possibly live. And that perfect life is laid to my account, is imputed to me, is given to me, so that in the sight of God there is purity. Thank God for that. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Last Sabbath evening, it was 2 weeks ago, I guess, when we looked at this particular passage of Scripture and just got the rough outline of it, that I preached from this particular passage of Scripture at a memorial service in Vietnam where a fellow had been killed by a compatriot when he rolled a hand grenade under this fellow's bunk. And I preach from this particular passage because I really felt that the laughter that was present, because this guy got his just desserts for winning a card game, the laughter needed to be silenced. And in its place, there needed to be mourning. Be miserable and mourn and weep over sin. Blessed are those who mourn, Jesus says. Why? For they shall be comforted. Thank God. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. At Carleton, one of the social issues which was addressed was the issue of homosexuality. And Tim McCracken, our pastor in San Diego, is it? I think that's correct. Related some of his experience in ministry to the homosexual community. And he said, you know, one of the problems that we face is here are these fellows to whom we are ministering, and they are wrestling with lust and unclean desires. But then when we bring them to church, very often there are other young men who are also lusting in their hearts toward the opposite sex, and they are laughing about it. Causing a little bit of a difficulty here. That latter lust is not a laughing matter. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. The actual word there is be humbled. I think that's kind of interesting. The exhortation is be humbled. And when we understand our position, when we see our own sin, when we see ourselves as Scripture portrays us, I think we are humbled before the Lord. Now, what James is talking about here when he lays the solution before us to hostility which exists before God, what James is actually talking about, I think, is seeking the Lord. And I'd like to show you this by turning to Psalm 24. Turn with me there if you would. Psalm 24. Then we're going to go back to James. Psalm 24, verses 3 through 6. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Thy face, even Jacob. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who is the one who can go up into the holy mountain of God and be accepted? He who has clean hands. We just talked about that, didn't we? Cleanse your hands, James says. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Only the individual with clean hands and a pure heart is acceptable to God. Verse 5 speaks of the individual. The individual who receives blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. To receive blessing from the Lord is to receive forgiveness. Blessed is the man to whom God does not impute his sins. David says in Psalm 32. Blessed is the man to whom God does not lay account to account his sins, but he is forgiven. Blessed is the man to to whom the righteousness of Jesus Christ is given. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, get in verse 6 who this individual is. This individual is the member of a generation described in a particular way. This is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek God. You see what James is talking about when he talks about cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, draw near to God. He's talking about seeking Him. That is a great business with which we all must be deeply concerned. Turn back to James now. James chapter 4 and these verses again, 7 through 10. James now gives us the wonderful prospects we as people may indeed experience at the hands of the sovereign God if we seek the Lord as James describes. First of all, verse 7. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What a great prospect that is. But my friends, you see, the same thing might be said of the proverb concerning our children, train up a child in the way he will go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, many parents today bemoan the fact that their children are not going in the way they should go. And the question that needs to be asked is this: did you train that child up in the way he should go? In the way God prescribes. It's not enough just to come to church once a week. We need to seek the Lord while He may be found in the way James describes. And there's a lot there. And one of the things that James says will take place if we seek the Lord as He prescribes, the devil will flee. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Now, keep your finger in James and turn once again to Matthew chapter 4. And I want you to see a couple of things in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, after the encounter Jesus has with Satan, verse 11 says, "And the devil left him." Now, what happened? Here is what happened. On the part of the Savior in this text, we find a knowledge of the Word of God. You see, we've already said that we need to submit to God through His Word. We need to know that Word. We need to seek God in His Word. We need to know the Word of God. We see in the first place a knowledge of the Word of God. And in the second place here, we see a proper application of the Word of God. Part of the problem we're faced with as Christians very often is this. We don't know the Word of God as we should, and secondly, we don't apply the Word of God as we should. And in this supreme example which is given to us, we find a proper knowledge of the Word of God, and we find a proper application of the Word of God, and we see the departure of the devil. We are to resist the devil by a proper knowledge of Scripture, God's Word, and a proper application of it. And the promise is, he will flee. He will flee. Now I want you to see the other part of verse 11 in chapter 4 of Matthew. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Now just hold that there for a minute. Hold that thought. And turn back now to James chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, we find the second wonderful prospect which is given. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. How is it that God may draw near? Well, I think we have an example. An example in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11, once again. What happened when the devil left? The angels came and ministered to Jesus. And what did they do? I'll tell you what they did. They strengthened him. How do I know that's true? That's part of the ministry of the angels. In Luke, in the narrative where Jesus sweats, as it were, great drops of blood in prayer before the Father, the Scripture tells us an angel came and strengthened him. I could use a little of that. Strength. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. What is the ministry of the angels? What are the angels? Give the answer before I ask the question. They are ministering spirits sent to people like you. That's what Hebrews tells us. And so the wonderful prospect is that God will draw near. And one of the ways He can draw near, dear friends, is through the ministry of angels. And then verse 10. Be humbled in the presence of the Lord. And the English text, I think in all the versions, says, and He will exalt you. The word which is translated exalt can mean exaltation in heaven. And that's the thrust that we normally get in this particular text. But the word may also be translated simply lift up. The very same word is translated lift up in John chapter 3, where the serpent is lifted up on the pole in the wilderness. Jesus talks about that. Get this now. The prospect of seeking the Lord, as James described, is threefold. The devil will flee, God will draw near, and Jesus Christ will lift you up. You know what that speaks of to me? That speaks of salvation, first of all. Of being lifted up out of the miry clay and the pit of sin. That speaks, second of all, of being lifted up out of the distresses of this life so that we are able to handle them. Not so that the distresses of life are lifted from us, but so that we are able to handle them. You see, what we started out with was talking about the fact that the perplexities of this life are manifold, and answers are needed to those perplexities. And the way to begin to find the answers is to seek the Lord. And James now says that if we seek the Lord in the way He prescribes, the devil will flee, God will draw near, and Jesus Christ will lift us up. He's not specific, but he's saying the prospect, of the devil fleeing, and of God drawing near, and of Jesus Christ lifting us up, is present. And so we may ask this morning, dear friends in Christ, what is the challenge? What is the perplexity? What is the trouble? What is it in your life, in my life, in the life of the nation, in the life of the church, which ultimately will not be met by seeking the Lord? What is it? And I submit to you that we, when we're asking questions about deep perplexities in our families, in the church, in the nation, when we're asking questions, we're not going to get any answers until we commit ourselves to seeking the Lord as James here prescribes. And the prospect, again, is that the devil will flee, that God will draw near, and that Jesus Christ will lift us up. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, may we hear those great words, "Be humbled in the presence of the Lord, and He will lift you up." May we seek Your face, and may the reality of those words encompass our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.